translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. If you're satisfied with this sacrifice, and if you are actually able to do so, kindly bring Maharaj Nimi back to life in this body. The demigod said yes to this request by the sages, but Maharaj Nimi said, "Please, don't imprison me again in a material body." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The demigods are in a position many times higher than of a human beings. Therefore, although the great saints and sages were also powerful brahmanas, they requested the demigods to revive Maharaj Nimi's body, which had been preserved in various perfumed bombs. One should not think that the demigods are powerful only in enjoying the senses. They are also powerful in such deeds as bringing life back to a dead body. There are many similar instances in the Vedic literature. For example, according to the history of Savitri and Satyavan, Satyavan died and was being taken away by Yamaraj. But on the request of his wife, Savitri, Satyavan was revived in the same body. This is an important fact about the power of the demigods. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyana Gyana Shalakaya Saksu Sudmilitam Gyana Itaismal Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Pagayam Dadati Svapatandikam E Krishna Karuna Sindo Tina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Kaptas Kachana Gorangi Radhe Brindavaneshvari Brishabanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadigora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, yesterday was Guru Purnima, as you may have noticed. And today is Jagannath Mishra's festival, that is to say, a special feast given, offered by Jagannath Mishra for the sake and for the welfare of his good son, Vishvambar, Nimai. So, yesterday we were relishing the pastimes of Sridham Mayapur, and Kripamoy Prabhu was giving such a nice lecture and such a nice report of what was taking place in Sridham Mayapur in the early days and also today even. But actually this Bhaktivinoda Manor is not so different from Sridham Mayapur. When you come here, and it's for a foreigner, it's quite obvious. When you enter, there are so many wonderful Vaishnavas with tilaks, just like angels with dhotis, saris, and so on and so forth. They appear like angels, as described by Srila Prabhupada in Nectar of Devotion. They appear like angels of heaven, angels of Vaikuntha. And also the walls are just surcharged with transcendental atmosphere, surcharged with the blissful sound of the holy name. And this is just a very, very special place. Very, very special place. And with this atmosphere of the Bhaktivinoda Manor, definitely you may become, by Lord's mercy, by Shrapad's mercy, you may definitely become a pure devotee of the Lord. Definitely. I remember on the early days, I had the wonderful opportunity to visit our temple in Paris. It was in 1975. At that time, Srila Prabhupada was present. And for some misfortune, I could not meet him personally. But since then, since the very first day, I entered the temple. I was with my mother and my sister also. They were just turning gray. They were scared like anything. But the atmosphere was so special, so wonderful. There were all these Vaishnavas, you see bare feet, what's going on, shaved up, dressed with the dhotis and so. And they were dancing, jumping like anything, like everywhere. And you see, it was just a mad atmosphere. But immediately, I was only 15 years old at the time, 15. And then I said to myself, my God, I don't understand what's going on here. But definitely, I'm one of them. It took a few years to become actually a member of the ashram. But still, the very first time you enter the temple and you decide, you become a devotee. Why? Because obviously there is a spiritual atmosphere. Everything is surcharged of the sound of the holy name. I remember for the first prasadam I took with the devotees at that time, there was one Prabhu. I think actually that his name was Bhava Sindhupota. So that is to say, the one who crosses the ocean of material misery. And this Bhava Sindhupota, actually, he preached to me. He spoke to me about cows and how we should protect cows and how we should take care of Mother Earth and everything. I didn't understand nothing, really understood nothing. And samosa, yes, I like, yes. Gulab jamun, yeah, again, yes. Alava, oh yes, I adore. You see, and then to this Prabhu, in order not to displease him, I said, yes. But I just understood nothing, what was going on and what he said to me, actually. But the atmosphere enough was definitely the good atmosphere in order to make you a devotee. Anyway, so sorry to speak about this. Now we speak about the Srimad Bhagavatam and our text, which mainly deals with sacrifices offered to the demigods. This is a subject matter, which actually is quite an important one in the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is made, we can say, of so many far-out stories about yagyas taking place. And as you may have noticed, in most of the yagyas taking place in the Srimad Bhagavatam, most of the time there is something going wrong. Always there is some disturbance, or very often there is some disturbance, and it never works, more or less. For instance, we see in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that there is a sacrifice offered by an important demigod, and the sacrifice is made to please Indra, actually, and the Brahmins, they don't recite the proper mantras, and instead of welcoming a friend of Indra, they will create a special creature, actually, which will become the enemy of Indra in the name of Vritasura. And then after there will be a whole mess in the story, we can say. There will be a fight between Indra and Vritasura and so on and so forth. But there are many examples like this. And also, there was one big sacrifice just after Maharaj Parikit passed away, in which King Janmajaya, in order to take a revenge on the bird snake, he made a very big strong sacrifice in which he would invoke the deities so that all the serpents, the snakes of the universe, would fall down into the fire of sacrifice and become ashes. And this sacrifice was so powerful that sometimes the Brahmin requested, please, we should stop this, otherwise the whole creation will be destroyed, you see, at least the whole creation of serpents. So and so forth. So these sacrifices are very powerful, performed with good rituals, actually. And we see that in Vedic times, the Brahmins were so powerful that they could put a cow in the fire of sacrifice, an old cow, actually, and it would become, at the end of the sacrifice, it would take birth again in a fresh, young body. It was actually a test in order to make sure that the mantras were properly recited and that the sacrifice was turning into a good result. So, anyway, in quite many places in Srimad Bhagavad Gita and in many places in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord says that we should not perform sacrifices to the demigods. Especially in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, it is explained in chapter 7, verse 20 to 23, that these sacrifices to demigods are just useless. Let's read verse 20 of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. 21. I am in everyone's heart as a supersoul. As soon as one desires to worship the demigods, I make his face steady so that he can devote himself to some particular deity. Verse 22. Endowed with such faith, he seeks favors of a particular demigod and obtains his desires. But in actually, these benefits are bestowed by me alone. 23. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, but my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet. So, even in Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 3 of Canto 1, Lord Krishna, it's actually Sukadev Goswami, speaks about the ghastly form of the demigods, the ghastly form. So we should not worship the ghastly form of the demigods. So, this may appeal for some comments in our mind. So what? These demigods are quite powerful beings, the most powerful beings. Just imagine we are at the dawn of creation. Lord Brahma is just in the middle of nowhere. The atmosphere is full of darkness. Everything is void, nothing. And then Lord Brahma is just sitting right in the middle of the lotus flower above the stem. And now he starts to meditate. And then, as Lord Brahma starts to meditate, he hears from far away, far, far away, he hears two syllables, tapa, tapa, austerity, penances. And actually, these words, they emanate from Krishna himself. Through his flute, from the flute of Lord Krishna, from Lord Krishna's flute, comes the Gayatri Mantra, and comes the original sound, which it is at the origin of the whole creation, because after hearing Tapa, Lord Brahma enters into trance and meditation, starts to meditate. I don't know how long, one millennium maybe of anyway, quite a long time of the celestial years. And from his meditation starts the process of creation, which is revealed in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So actually, from this story, we can learn that actually Brahma and all the demigods actually are empowered by Krishna. And because they are empowered by Krishna, they can get their power. Brahma has the power to create this universe, and as we may imagine easily, to create a universe, I don't know if you ever tried, but it takes some potency, some energy. Let's see also Lord Shiva with his trident, his piercing in the various directions. And piercing in the directions, Lord Shiva is destroying very fiercely. He's destroying the whole universe. He's dancing the dance of devastation. So you see, to create is one thing, to maintain, to destroy is another thing, but to maintain is something else. And Srimad Bhagavatam again says that although Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu is Trimurti, still among Trimurti, we should render service to Lord Vishnu, because Vishnu is our Lord, and Vishnu is the personification of Sattvagun, pure goodness. And therefore, a devotee of the Lord is not interested in rendering obeisances and service to Tamogun or Rajagun. But a devotee of the Lord is making so many efforts in order to maintain his sattvagun, in order to one day get subha sattva, that is to say pure goodness, by which one is in deep connection with the Lord. Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna, Yatra Danurdara, Tatra Shir Vijayo Bhutir, Dhruva Nitir, Matir, Mama. This is the very conclusion of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, in which Sanjay, requested by Dhritarashtra, says, you see, dear Dhritarashtra, actually, wherever there is Lord Krishna, Yogeshvara, the master of all mystics, wherever there is Arjun, the great archer, bowman, special bowman, archer, the best of all these bowmen, there is actually victory, there is opulence, there is extraordinary power, and there is morality. And all these qualities we find in Krishna, we find in Vishnu, and we find them in Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu's devotee. Here, symbolized by Arjun, taken by Arjun, but still in everyone's, in the heart of all devotees, all these qualities are there. And therefore, we have to reveal by our devotional service, little by little, all these qualities and get purified. But definitely, when you come into a temple, because the outcomer sees inside the devotees all these qualities, he is so happy. And this is why such a place like Bhaktivedanta Manor is so nice, because the qualities of the devotees are everywhere, actually. Because the devotees are serving the Lord. So, anyway, we were speaking of yagyas, sacrifices to the demigods. Actually, there are three categories of people, more or less, according to the three modes of material nature. People in tamogun, either they are sleeping all the time, they are accustomed to very dirty habits. Even they may sometimes worship ghosts, spirits, degraded things, objects. And they remain in complete moha, foolishness, ignorance. Then, for them, there is no hope. Practically speaking, the mudas, they remain just like in a state of foolishness, madness, and they can do nothing really of their life. And they will be taking birth again, they will be taking birth again and again in the various species of life, low species of life, animals and so on and so forth. Now, people in the mode of passion, they are very much attached to the result of their action, and therefore, in order to try to get results to their action, sometimes they may worship demigods. This was obvious in Vedic times, and even nowadays, some people in India, they still worship demigods. For us Westerners, to worship demigods, that is to say, the persons, the high persons who are in charge of the various aspects of the creation, is quite a little exotic thinking. I remember when I was reading Srimad Bhagavad Gita, at the beginning, I really found that there were two kinds of persons that Srila Prabhupada, Lord Krishna, didn't seem to appreciate much, I can say. First, these impersonalists. Who are they? We speak of impersonalistic persons, Mayavadis, throughout Bhagavad Gita. So, here are the people to avoid, definitely. And then there is also a category of persons that the Bhagavad Gita speaks in details also. We read a few verses. These are the demigod worshippers. So it sounds exotic because actually for a Westerner, for a classical Westerner, who is Shiva, who is Brahma, who is Lakshmi, we don't know really. But then when you apply these names to persons who are real in a Western world, then you understand what is demigod worship is. For instance, young men, they may worship, I don't know, who, Michael Jackson, in order to get inspiration to good guitar playing or something, or good dancing, I don't know. They may worship Barclays Bank, in order to get some money in the pocket. This is a demigod of bank in British countries. And so more seriously, we can see that the demigods, when you pray to them, they can give you some results. Even in Christianity, there is a long tradition in which you are supposed to worship such and such saintly person, not really a demigod, but such and such saintly person, such as Saint Francisco or Saint so many others, in order to get good protection for this and that aspect of your daily life. So now, at the beginning of our movement, there was a controversy in the early days, between devotees, and they submitted the controversy to Srila Prabhupada about Ganesh, Ganapati worship. Should we worship or not Ganapati, Lord Ganesh, in order to get results? Because there is a long tradition in India to worship Ganapati. So, and Ganapati, the dear son of Lord Shiva and consort Durga. So Srila Prabhupada said it was okay to worship Ganesh in order to ask him to help us in our devotional service. This is okay. If we do this, this is okay. This is acceptable. And in all cases, we can pray to Ganesh in order that he takes away all the obstacles, all hindrances on the path of our devotional service. And this may also we may as well help ask for the protection of great persons such as Hanumanji, who is an incarnation of Vayu, Lord Vayu, in order to be protected again to in the daily performance of our devotional service. This is no Maya. This is actually a good way to worship demigods. But of course, to worship demigods just for the sake of getting personal pleasure, this is not at all accepted in our line of in our sampradaya, in our line. It is said that it is not correct. We should not pray the demigods, but we should pray the one who gives power, who empowers the demigods in order to live. Still, demigods worshippers are people who are in a better situation than people who are just in the tamogun, if we say so. And Burijan Prabhu explains very nicely in his book Surrender Unto Me, a full explanation of Bhagavad Gita, a complementary explanation of Bhagavad Gita, I would say. And he explains how demigod worshippers, actually, at least, they have one quality. They accept an authority. They accept that this earth is turning around because there are energies and there are people in charge of the various elements of creation. There is rain, there is a sun, there is river, there are rivers, and so on and so forth. So, actually, demigod worshippers, they invoke these special authorities who are the demigods in order to get some results. Of course, the results are temporary. Therefore, they cannot please the soul. The jiva is Sat-Chit Ananda, and therefore the jiva is aspiring for eternity. Sorry, I don't find my word. knowledge and bliss, and therefore temporary results cannot satisfy the soul. But by the performance of yagyas, demigod worshippers, they sacrifice part of their wealth to some authorities, and also they hear the words of Brahmins who tell them that, you know, okay, this is good, you perform yagyas, this is something, but you know, you'll have to take birth again. So, what's the use after all? And gradually, after performing so many yagyas, they become accustomed by the idea that they will get temporary results, and therefore there is no use in worshipping the demigods. And little by little, they will realize that the one who is actually worshipped is through Yagya is Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, the one who empowers the demigods in their situation. You see? And then, gradually speaking, from demigod worship, we go to another step and we go to Vishnu, Vishnu Yagya, and Krishna consciousness. This culture of demigod worship is even very much present in our Krishna consciousness movement even. Just to remind you, in sacred initiation, the first words of the Gayatri Mantra are an invocation to the sun. So, every Brahmin in ISKCON is worshipping the sun. So, because the sun also is Surya, but also is the eye of Vishnu, the eye of Krishna. But really, we have to understand that this demigod worship is not satisfying as long it doesn't give long results. Therefore, the occupation for humanity is the performance of devotional service. This is what is said by Sukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikit, answering to the first question of the Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the occupation at large for humanity? Sarvem pumsa paro dharmo, toto jayir aduchaye, aetuki apratiyata, yayatma supersidati. The occupation for humanity at large is devotional service to the Lord. Because this devotional service should be unmotivated and uninterrupted. And therefore, only with these two conditions can it give full satisfaction to the soul. So, therefore, in our situation, let's have full respect to Surya, to Ganesh, to Mother Lakshmi, to Mother Sarasvati, but still let us, with all our heart and all our soul, worship Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, would you have any questions or comments?